The following podcast is an exclusive presentation of Project Entertainment Network.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. This is Captain Dallas Lee. I'm here to tell you about Adam and Eve. That's right. I'm talking about the great story of Garden of Eden. That's what you got to be talking about right now. Thank you very much.
I don't think that's actually the Adam and Eve they're talking about. I think it's more of the fun kind.
What, talk about fun kind? That's fun to the captain. I love talking about that.
No. More of like the fun, spicy things that could probably happen in your bedroom.
Oh, spicy stuff. Spicy stuff happens in different rooms in the captain's place. That's right. Out there in the kitchen, I got me a big old mess of chili going right now. Nice and spicy. Nice and hot, too. Hot and spicy. That's why Captain likes it. You like it hot and spicy?
Well, of course I do, but not too spicy.
Oh, you can't take the heat, can you? For Adam and Eve, it's a beautiful story to tell you about right now, but you're talking about a different kind of Adam and Eve, ain't you?
I am, indeed.
Is it kind of an Adam and Eve where you can get free stuff?
Oh, it is indeed. Free stuff is awesome. Go to adamandeve.com. Enter the offer code NECRO at the checkout and get 10 tantalizing free gifts.
10 tentacles?
No, tantalizing.
Oh, tantalizing. My bad. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
A sexy item for him, a special gift for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy. Yes!
Both of us, my goddamn. No. It's all about the captain here. I don't worry about the other stuff there. She can worry about that on her own.
No. It's all about sharing.
Sharing? Well, I'm going to share some of that chili a little bit later on. Could also get 6 free spicy movies. Wait, spicy movies? Talk about spicy movies?
Well, I'm sure it's an Adam and Eve story, but it's going to be spicy.
Well, I like getting free stuff. The captain likes getting free stuff. We're talking about Adam and Eve. That's right. Free stuff to spice up your bedroom is even better. Select almost any one item for almost 50% off. Wait, are you kidding me? They want 50%?
Don't forget to enter the offer code NECRO at your checkout and get 10 tantalizing free gifts at adamandeve.com.
Plus free shipping. That's NECRO. NECRO at adamandeve.com. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Tim Meyer, and you're listening to the NecroCasticon.
The following advertisement is not intended to sound like anybody famous. This is all a coincidence. Just remember, we're doing this for a charity. And now entering the ring, our spooks team, the Necro Powers.
Oh yeah! Dig it! Well, let me tell you something, brother. Project Entertainment Network is proud to help the Scares the Care charity any way we can. Oh yeah! In the past, we've had T-shirts sold, seats printed and sold, and helped with the horror show with Brian Keene Telethon, giving 100% of the money. This year, we've decided to do something a bit different and give the host of the PEN podcast involved. Several have generously donated unique items toward the cause. We'll pick one winner, brother. That lucky person will win all the items. Yeah, you'll enter for your chance to win $1. $1. One, this little buck right there, my best. $1 gets you one entry into the drawing, yeah. $1, yeah, one little dollar. That's all you need. $1, 3/4 a dollar, whatever you gotta do. $1 gets you one entry into the drawing, yeah. The more entries make the better chance of winning all of it. And every dollar collected will go to Scares the Care and present it to the charity during the Scares the Care charity week at all August 1st. Hurry, contest ends July 29th. Will you get this giant box of cool swag and help the Scares the Care as well? Go to ProjectEntertainmentNetwork.com for all the details. Oh, yeah. What you gonna do when this contest ends and it runs wild on you? Oh, yeah, brother.
Hey, Walt, is that Blondie?
No, I thought that was Diablo or Rocket.
No, it's not. It's not. Oh, shit, Walt. Let's skip back in.
Hello, guys.
Oh, geez. Oh. That's what that smell was.
Go for it. All right.
This is the deal tonight. You sit over in the corner. When we need you, we'll cue you. You and the Jim Beam, you sit down there.
I'm
when
doing
we
this
need
sober.
You, we'll holler at you.
I got
okay.
nothing.
Tonight. Well, you do, because you're gonna be watching that movie High Death.
Oh, good Lord.
Yes. So you're good with that, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, remember back when we were complaining how fucking cold it was a few months ago?
Yeah, like 3 weeks ago.
It's my balls are sweating now, dude.
Oh, man.
My balls is hot.
Wow.
I'm sitting in ball soup over here.
Oh, jeez. Welcome to Volume 5, Chapter 9. Of the Necrocasticon, Project Entertainment Network's podcast that blends horror and heavy metal for your pleasure and his, especially now that we have Adam and Eve as a sponsor. Don't forget to use Necro as your code at checkout, guys.
Yes.
We get paid off of that shit. All right?
Yes. Buy tons of stuff that you know you want, but now you have an excuse.
Fuck you, Pure Romance, and all you Pure Romance people, all my friends that are Pure Romance. Screw you, Adam and Eve. Yep. Like Captain Dallas said.
It's what everyone's right. buzzing about.
Yep. Anyway, this week we got a great show. We're talking to Tim Meyer. He hosts or co-hosts the Aperture Hour here at Project Entertainment Network. And he also happens to be a prolific horror writer. He's going to talk about his craft and balancing family life with being a writer.
Fellow PEN podcasting brethren showing up here. It's awesome.
I love Tim. He's a great guy. He's got the perfect resting bitch face. It's like permanently on his face.
Really?
He's a sister. He's like Steve Kozanowski. You get no emotion from him ever. He's a sister.
Permanent poker face.
Mm-hmm. You know, but that lends to a little bit of the enigma that makes Tim Meyer in his career. So check out that interview with him here shortly on the Necrocasticon. We also got the top 10 things trending in horror metal this week with Iris. Walter's going to review the new Yorn Land album. Dan, Wrestler versus a B-movie, push you Dan versus Dolls.
Which is ironic. Made for go to AdamEve.com and use the code NECRO. There's all sorts of dolls and devices that you can get
that will you can use to unleash the fury.
Okay. So I made the fucking mistake of mentioning Bob Ford asked what was some of the most disturbing things that you have had to research and you found that you didn't need to know this information. And one of the things that I have researched, and it wasn't for writing, it was for my trivia when I hosted trivia games, was that when hippos, their mating ritual is the male hippo shits, spins his tail, and the lady hippo goes to the hippo who spreads the shit the farthest with his tail.
Okay, where is this going?
Okay, so Bob says, I will read what you wrote off of this. Talk about pressure from, you know, it's fucking Bob Ford. You know, this man's here. Are you ready? Get ready. Fuck it. Drink. I'm going to say the word, Scott.
Oh, you're going to say
the
word?
You ready?
Yep. Say the word. Say the word. Get a drink ready, boys.
Get a drink
ready. And girls.
Here we go.
Hear it?
Starts with a P. Five letters.
Bob Ford's prose is better than fucking Edgar Allan Poe's. Drink, bitches.
There you go. Drink, bitches.
All right, so of course now I have to write this fucking scatological fucking horror story. So I've come up with this idea called the Jungle Room, and this is how I've done it, guys. I have approached Lucas Milliron.
Of course.
Oh Jesus!
And I'm going to write the story. Question.
You know who you got to talk to.
I'm going to write the story as gross as I fucking can, and then I'm going to give it to Lucas to rewrite it.
So. Essentially, it's a fourth wall break inside of a fourth wall break involving poo-poo.
Hi, Deadpool.
Well, I'm calling the story Jungle Rooms.
Oh, we yo, we yo.
Both went there.
It's going to take place at a house of ill repute.
Don't think
each room you go to has a different animal that the room represents. So if you go to the hippopotamus room, it's the
skunk room.
If you go to the giraffe room, what would it be? Because you know what giraffes do to each other when they want to mate?
Smack each other with their long necks?
No, they piss on each other.
So it's the Donald golden Trump Russian room?
Yes.
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 Golden showers, baby. Yes. It's one long-ass shower.
Yes. And then that leads to the kangaroo room. Now, the kangaroo room in most marsupials, I have learned through my research now, again, Bob Ford, things you don't want to fucking know, that the fucking kangaroo's asshole is on the wrong side of his dick. And kangaroos have a tendency for necrophilia. So, yeah. Now you guys, too, know something that you never knew about a kangaroo before.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you are of any ideas about turning off this podcast, we ask you, please do not. Please do not, because this is the lowest point the show will go. It is only up from here.
I will never watch The Crocodile Hunter with my son the same way again.
Froggy!
But you can get 10 free gifts
from AdamandEve.com.
Oh, man. This is the point where I'm going to remind you that you can sponsor this shitty little podcast. Ain't that right, Scott?
They're not going to sponsor it now. You just called it a shitty podcast. You're editing that out. Shame on you.
Unless he's referring to the scat room.
Which I was.
Anyway, ProjectEntertainmentNetwork.com.
Hey, baby, love me like website.
Silence. Go to the website. Click on the advertising banner if you really want to advertise, just like AdamandEve.com, where you can get 50% off by using the promo code NECRO. Go to the ProjectEntertainmentNetwork.com. Click on the advertising banner. Get all the information you need to know about becoming a sponsor. While you're there, check out the merchandise store. Grab yourself some cool NecroCasticon swag or swag from any of the podcasts to show your support for them. But the best way to show support is by becoming a patron. Go to Patreon.com/ProjectEntNet. Sign up today. It's only $1 a month. For the base package, you get access to all kinds of Patreon-exclusive content. Sign up today, patreon.com/projectentnet. No shit required.
I was having incredibly too much fun with this. How about we go talk to
segment brought to you by Jameson.
So we've been through pretty much everybody at the network as guests here on the NecroCasticon. We've had Armand on a few times. Remember when Armand was our death guy? When somebody died, Armand would come on?
Yeah. Yeah. Always.
He was like the pallbearer.
Yeah, the Grim Reaper.
Yes. And then we've had Brian Keane on now. We've had Dave Thomas on. Mm-hmm. Frank Edler. I don't know why we had Frank on, but we did.
Yeah, we did.
Filling the quota.
But now I think we have finally reached a point where we can have one of the most prolific writers at Project Entertainment Network come and visit us on the show. And he writes about stuff that's fucking cool too. So please welcome to the NecroCasticon none other than Tim Meyer.
Well, thanks guys. Yeah. Thanks for the warm welcome.
New book. Velociraptors killing people.
Uh-huh.
Love it.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. We are big fans of Velociraptors here at the NecroCasticon.
Nice.
That story eating people is fucking awesome. That's all I have to say.
That's essentially what the book is all about. There's really no plot. It's just all dinosaurs eating people.
Nice.
That's the best way to have it, man.
Dino horror porn. Yes.
So with you being on the Beers and Fears tour, what kind of beer are you drinking tonight? Or is it just a standard IPA or...
This is a juicy IPA.
Juicy IPA?
Yeah, it's a little light on the juicy and a little light on the IPA, so it's kind of just like carbonated water that's a little bit flavored.
Right.
But it's not bad. It's only like 5%.
There you go. Yeah. I got the good stuff behind me, the Jameson. I'll be getting a shot of that here in a little bit.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. Okay. So, how long have you been writing for now, Tim?
I published my first book in 2012, but I mean, I've been writing since like the fourth grade. So,
well, what's the case with all of us, but published since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And you seem to me to always be, you got like your fingers on the pulse of what's popular out there.
Hmm.
You always seem to write something that's appropriate for what people like. And like we were talking about the dinosaurs just now. And before that, the big monster with Lords of the Deep that you did with Patrick Lacey. Are you just watching trends, or is something feeding your muse?
No, I never really trend watch. I'm never really conscious about that stuff at all, actually. I just kind of write whatever I like and hope that it connects with an audience. You know, working with Severed Press, you mentioned the two Severed Press books, and working with them has just been really great, and they do a great job marketing their books. So one of their things is like sea monsters and dinosaurs. Like those are like the two books that they publish the most. So I just enjoy working with them. So I always write stuff for them.
Giant monsters rule though, dude. They really do.
They do.
I see behind you, you got stacks of stuff. You're ready for Scares That Care?
Yeah, I got a few boxes full of books. A lot, actually. Probably too much. I'm not going to bring all that.
Yeah, come on. You want to. It's going to sell like hotcakes. Come on, man.
Bring it all.
Absolutely.
Now, rent the big truck and bring it.
Yeah.
Now, everybody knows my story about how I got involved with Project Entertainment Network, but not many people know your story. So how did Aperture Hour get involved with the network and become one of the more successful podcasts at the network?
So my buddy Chad and I, we've been podcasting, oh God, since maybe 2014. We've had a few different shows, and then we had stopped for a while, but just because it became too crazy. My wife and I had a baby, and that cut like my time in to nothing, basically, all our extra time. So I had to give something up. So unfortunately, it was the podcasting. And now that he's a little bit older, he's four now, we have a little bit more time. And so we decided to pick it back up again. And since becoming friends with Armand, I was like, hey, do you want an awesome new podcast for your network about movies? And we do movie trivia every week. And he was really into the idea. So that's kind of how it came to be. We needed a third co-host, so I made my wife do it.
Your wife's the one that seems to know what she's talking about. On
duress, or what was she to do it?
No, she was like, I don't want to do this. I'm like, please, we need you. Yep. And she said, okay. That's how it went down.
So when it comes to doing your reviews and everything for your films, like I'm kind of the B movie guy on this podcast.
I've tested my bonds of friendship with Dan with the movies that we've given him.
He almost killed us I quit the podcast after that.
Dan doesn't know is that you guys get the same movies that Dan gets. So you've seen some of the same fucking movies Dan's had to watch.
What's the worst one you've had to watch this year, bro?
Oh man, I don't know. It's been weird. I haven't really seen anything too. I've been sticking with like mainstream movies. I haven't.
So what's the worst mainstream that you've had? Because it's almost July now, and we've had some really good ones, and then we've had some ones that were like, who fucking produced this? Like, what's one of the worst ones you've had to sit through and been like, wow, I just wasted X amount of hours of my life?
So I've been watching a lot of movies on Netflix. And actually, just recently, we watched I Am Mother. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Heard about it.
Yeah, we heard about it.
It's got Hilary Swank in it. It takes place, I guess, sometime in the future when androids have kind of taken over.
Isn't it like a girl in a box and she's trying to get out? It's almost like Ex Machina in reverse.
Kind of. It's like a little girl. She's been raised in this facility that it's just her and this robot who's kind of nurtured her. And then one day when she's like 13, 14 years old, a stranger, a woman, Hilary Swank's character, shows up out of the blue, and she's injured. So she says that all the robots are evil, and the girl's like, no, this robot's different, blah, 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 blah. And then there's a lot of twists and turns, but it kind of fell really flat, I think, by the end. And I don't know. I didn't really enjoy it all that much. So just because it's fresh in my brain, I'm going to go with that one.
Dan, you can tell him.
Oh, okay. Are we talking about Death Camp 3D?
Yeah.
If you get a chance, see, I've – you know, he primed me by making me watch this movie called Jurassic Games, which, you know, because I am a huge dinosaur fanatic. Like, I've got dinosaur Funko Pops from Jurassic World and shit all over my house.
Awesome.
And, like, he primed me with this really fun movie because it's essentially Hunger Games and The Condemned with dinosaurs. So I'm like, fuck yeah. And then the next movie was Death Camp 3D, which is quite possibly one of the worst films I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
And it got to a point while watching this movie where I genuinely wanted to be like, okay, this is the last film I'm going to review. It was nice working with you guys. All this new podcast equipment I just bought, I'm throwing it in the garbage. I quit.
Wait till you watch the movies I've got for you this time.
Oh, I hate you. So, like, when it comes
Brazilian
to your horror,
waxing.
Brazilian waxing?
That's how they're feeling.
Wow, you've been watching my videos. Oh. So, what's... like, what got you into horror? I always like to ask that question. What was, like, your gateway drug introduction into the horror genre?
Yeah, so very early on, I got into the Goosebumps books by R.L. Stein.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was kind of my gateway.
You kids, I know, Goosebumps.
Showing my age.
Hey, no. But,
but seriously. What's wrong with that? That shit was so popular and so awesome. I was, like, hooked on those books. I had every single one. I even had, like, the shitty Choose Your Own Adventure books that they came out with that I'm pretty sure he didn't even write. I don't even know if he wrote all of them. I think most of them were under, like, somebody else wrote them for him after a while. But, yeah, like, those books just kind of sunk their claws into me. And so I stuck with it after that.
Let's go into the other aspect of the show, you know, not just the horror, but also the metal. And we understand that you are a metal fan. So what's some of the top metal bands that you go to when you want the fix?
I wish Walt was here to give him the fucking test.
Yeah, I wish Walt was here to do that. So
there's a test? Okay. I wasn't aware.
There's a pop quiz we like to throw at some
Walter,
people.
Walter says
test
he's our
metalness.
He's our walking encyclopedia of metal. He really is.
Oh, man.
Like, if the internet went down, I need to know something, call Walt. Yeah.
Encyclopedia Baltonica.
Oh, that's funny. So I'm a huge melodic death metal fan. So bands like In Flames.
That's one of the bands. That would have been the answer.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, so what are the big four of
the big four Gothenburg death metal scene? What are the big four bands?
Big four there?
You just said one of them.
Man, Children of Bodom.
No, that's not one of them.
No, but damn.
A good band.
I'm terrible at this game.
Yeah.
Who else is from Sweden? Dark Tranquillity, I think is.
That's two. Yeah, that's two. I'm trying to remember the other two now. I'm blanking on them.
Soilwork.
I was gonna say Soilwork fan. That's the third one.
Then there's one more.
Yeah, there is one more. They're a big name that even I know, and I can't remember right now. Because...
Oh, I remember it now. I remember it.
I don't know, but as soon as you say it, I'll be like, oh yeah.
What?
You're standing.
I can't see you do this shit in the real world.
Straight edge. That's the worst part of this.
Exactly. At the gates.
At the gates.
Classic. Yeah. Yeah, I love them. I mean, Soilwork is probably my favorite band right now just because they're so consistently, they're putting out stuff that's amazing on a consistent basis. I'm like a bigger fan of older In Flames stuff, like the Horacle album, Colony, those albums. But I like all those bands. Children of Bodom, Arch Enemy is like one of my favorite bands. I love them. So
awesome stuff. Is that stuff you got going on in the background while you're writing, or do you listen to maybe something different for inspiration?
I listen to anything that I've listened to a lot because I can't listen to new music when I'm writing because it distracts me so much. But yeah, so like if I've listened to, you know, Soilwork's you know, Natural Born Chaos, which I've listened to like 1,000 times, I can play that in the background. Or I'll play like instrumental music or soundtracks, movie scores, things like that. Things that don't distract me. I also like hip hop, but I can't listen to that while I write because the lyrics kind of distract me.
You should have seen him at the Brian King Telethon when Dan Padovano was doing his rap battle. He was all ready to get in on it with him.
Oh, I'll bet.
Waiting. I was waiting for the call. Never came.
Tag me in, man. Tag me.
Now, what is it about metal and horror as a pairing you think that works so well?
I guess, like, thematically, they're kind of the same, right? They deal with a lot of the same themes, you know, death, despair, hopelessness, and also hope. Just similar themes, I think. And also, I mean, if you look at a lot of metal covers, they're very, like, horror-centric. You know, like Iron Maiden covers, like, they'll have, like, the Eddie the Zombie on it. Just, like, some iconic artwork. Look at that. Yep. There you go.
King Diamond.
That says it right there.
Yeah. So, like, I think a lot of the art and the illustrations, I mean, I remember buying albums and just, like, looking through just, like, the artwork on the interior layout of the CDs and just seeing how cool they are. So I think that's pretty much what it is.
Back in the you know, the days of vinyl, that's what really caused you to try to buy these albums, because there was no way to check it online or stream or anything like that. You had to physically go to the store, and you would go through the line up there, and all of a sudden you pull out this one album. It's got this visual on it, like, what the hell is this? I must buy this to find out what this band is all about. Yeah. And boom, you take it home, whether it's Venom, Black Metal, or Kill 'Em All, or, you know, any of the Iron Maiden albums, like you said, so, Cannibal Corpse covers, all that stuff.
Cannibal Corpse has the best covers.
Oh, yes, they do.
I think that's one thing that we as metal fans have gotten, and horror people, have gotten an advantage on, where we were groomed on these covers, and we learned immediately what worked. And I think that as a writer, as a creative, that has been an education to us as writers. Because I see it on your covers, Tim. Mm. I don't know how much creative input you have on your covers. Do you have any creative input on your covers?
Depending on which publisher I work with, and or if I self-publish. If I self-publish, I have pretty good control over it. With the publishers, not so much, but most of the ones I've worked with have been pretty good, and they'll ask me what I had in mind for a cover, and then I give them my ideas, and then they'll kind of roll off that. So.
Now, Limbs, that you did for Grindhouse.
Uh-huh.
That's got a unique cover. Holy fuck, that's a fucked up cover.
Yeah, it is. It's a kind of a fucked up book, too.
It's a fucked up publishing house, too, man. They Stevie Hunt's books are just amazing.
Oh, she's great, yeah. And she's the best to work with. Like, that was one of the best publishing experiences.
She's been a guest on the show.
Yep, oh, in fact, on our most downloaded show.
Yes.
And she will tell you.
Rachel Autumn Deering, I don't know if you're familiar with her.
Oh,
she actually did the cover for Limbs.
Oh, she did the cover for that?
Yeah. Yep.
Badass.
Rachel's very talented.
Yeah, she is.
Very talented. And again, comes from growing up and, you know, looking at those Iron Maiden fucking album covers. Because she is the world's second greatest Iron Maiden fan behind me. So
actually going to see them next month.
I'm so
in
happy
Philly.
You finally get to see them. Nice.
Awesome.
I saw them like 8 years ago.
I saw them in their prime back on the No Prayer for the Dying tour.
Oh, yeah?
Just before, you know, the album before Bruce left.
Nice.
Yeah, I was on stage as part of the Heaven Can Wait chorus.
Oh, yeah?
They bring a bunch of, you know, plebes up on stage with them, and you do, oh, 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 over and over again for, you know, 3 minutes, and then they take you off stage and don't let you touch anybody in the band.
Yeah. Later, pal. Yeah. Yeah, right, that was fun. Out here, we don't want them on stage anymore.
that was fun. So, have you crossed over metal and horror in your fiction yet?
Actually, in my first book, which is called Enlightenment, it was originally published as Demon Blood Book One. There's actually a metal band in that. In that book, two of the main characters actually follow around a death metal band for a little while. So that's really the only thing that I've kind of used. But it's something I would definitely go back to since, you know, I love both things so much.
Dan, your turn.
Well, I mean, I'm just enjoying all this. When it comes to your creative juices, where do you start? Like, where's the kernel for a story begin? Is it just something that you see in everyday life? Because that's one of the things, you know, like in talking with Tom, and I know Scott has created in a different way through his, you know, workings in professional wrestling with coming up with a story. Do you just look at the outside world and say to yourself, maybe, wow, this is kind of fucked up. How would this work in fiction? What is your process in order to begin the germination of one of your stories?
So that's actually a really awesome question. My
Dan, ideas... you got a good question tonight.
Yes! About time.
The ideas kind of come from all different places. Sometimes it's like a dream that I've had. Right. Sometimes it's something that I just see that's kind of fucked up. Sometimes it's something I read about, like in the paper or online. They come from different places. So once the idea is there, I usually let it sit in my brain for a while before I attack it. Kind of just sits there, takes root, and then after a while, it starts to flower, and I just start working on it. I mean, I've always been one of those writers who just write. And then deal with it afterwards. Just get it out all on paper. Anything that's in my head, just get it down and then kind of sort it out. Because I'm not really a strong, like, first draft writer. I usually, what I like to call, vomit onto the page. So it's just complete garbage. Yeah, exactly.
Verbal diarrhea.
Yes. And
you write it in your own vernacular, like you would talk to your friends at the bar. And exactly. It's just the worst grammar on the planet. Yeah, I know. I'd do it too.
No
yeah.
commas at all. Just run on yeah. sentence.
Just let it go.
Just let it go.
Get it out. Get it out. Get it out.
Yeah. Just because once it's out, then you can kind of go back and like tweak it and, you know, play with the verbiage and the words and make it a cohesive story. So, but yeah, I mean, the ideas come from anywhere. I mean, one night, one of my short story ideas came from one night my wife and I were sleeping and we heard like this truck idling outside of our window. And we went to the window, looked out, and it was like a white pickup truck that was just parked across the street. And in the back, they had a giant wooden cross just hanging out of the bed. And it was sitting there for probably about like 20 minutes. And like we were kind of freaked out because, I mean, well, yeah. We live in a good neighborhood in the middle of New Jersey. Like,
oh, wait a like, minute. Yeah. Hold on. Good neighborhood, New Jersey. Wait a minute.
That's an oxymoron. Anyway, continue with the story.
So, like, I mean, it was just a strange, strange thing. So eventually the truck just, you know, left. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where the ideas come from sometimes. Just, like, weird, weird stuff that happens. Thanks.
Now, do you do research, like when you say you see something as far as, you know, in a real world scenario, do you do the verbal diuretics and then are like, well, let me put some context to this and really do some research behind it, so to speak? Like the thing that comes to my mind is Wes Craven when he did a similar thing when he heard about the stories of people, you know, from Southeast Asia in internment camps, young men were coming over and dying in their sleep. He did more research on the sudden death syndrome that these young men were going through. Do you find yourself doing that, like scholarly research, in order to kind of, you know, buff up the information, or do you just kind of let it go and let your imagination run wild?
It kind of depends on the story. I try not to do too much research because, number one, I'm not like a huge fan of doing a lot of research.
Amen.
but I mean, if the story calls for it, then I feel like I have a responsibility to do that. Right. So for like limbs, for example, it's about a guy who has acrotomophilia, which I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that.
Why don't you explain that to our listeners, Tim?
Okay. So acrotomophilia is when somebody basically has a amputee fetish, someone who likes to have sex with people without limbs.
Yeah.
Which is a real thing. And
yep, it is. Yep.
So I had to do a little bit of research for that because I wanted it to feel real and make sense. So that I had to do some research for.
No shit.
You had to do research and it wasn't personal. Wow.
Yes.
Did you have to watch any porn?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch any porn.
Okay, just making sure.
No.
Because I know some people would.
Yeah, no.
Ed Lee, for example.
Yeah. I just used my imagination for that part.
Okay. Dan, you still haven't watched an Edward Lee movie.
You know what? I will add them to the laundry.
You know, way at the bottom of the list.
Once you watch an Ed Lee movie, your mind and your fucking life are forever changed. It's like watching a snuff film.
But yeah, so that I had to do research for. The dinosaur book, I didn't really do a lot of research for because, like you, I'm like a huge dinosaur nerd. So a lot of that stuff.
Do dinosaurs have feathers?
Yes, they do, actually.
Yes.
So, okay, I wanted to come correct.
I got to ask this question because it's a nerd question. Favorite dinosaur?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I just threw down the punk card. Gotta answer that question.
I know.
Dinosaurs.
Man, I go back and forth. I guess, like, my favorite predator would probably be, like, the Deinonychus, which is the basically the dinosaur that the Jurassic Park based the Velociraptor after.
Yep.
That would probably be my favorite.
Nice.
If I had to pick one off the top of my head.
It's a good choice. Good choice. Yeah. So, I know Tom is probably a raptor guy himself.
Actually, especially... I'm a pterodactyl guy ever since picked up by that fucking pterodactyl on Land of Time Forgot. I'm also a plesiosaur guy because of the Land of Time Forgot as well.
Now, of course,
the greatest fucking movie of all time. Anyway.
X-23 were here right now and he heard you. He would correct you and say that pterosaurs and aquatic lizards were not
dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs only were land-based animals. And I can't believe I just quoted my son. Fuck.
Yes, you did.
Plesiosaur's a dinosaur. Thank you. Plesiosaur.
And Pluto is still a planet.
Yeah, and there's another planet beyond that, I guess, now, too, they're saying.
Yes, there is, but it's not a planet. It's a dwarf planet. Anyway,
it's
moving
a dwarf
on.
Planet. No, there's another planet that's out there that's like the size of 10 Earths, allegedly. Yes. But it's not Planet X or that other Kempler. Fucking goofy thing that's supposed to come back and kill
welcome
us.
Welcome to the Science Hour on the Necrocasticon.
No, just welcome to our version again of You Gotta Be Kidding.
Exactly.
Where we just say, no, that's bullshit.
Let me get back on track here because I want to ask Tim about, on your show, The Aperture Hour, you talk about movie trivia. How deep does the diving get with the trivia? Is it pretty high level or does it vary?
It varies. My wife, Ashley, actually does a lot of the research for the trivia because it's usually me versus Chad, and then the loser has to do something embarrassing, either on the show or on our social.
What's the most embarrassing thing you've had to do?
I had to prank phone call my brother and tell him that my wife is pregnant when he knows that I had a vasectomy.
Wow. That's outstanding.
Now, does he come up with that for
that
you to do?
That's horrible.
Is that
it depends. Like sometimes it varies.
And what's the worst one you've come up for him to do?
The worst thing I think he had to do is at a friend's wedding, he had to John Travolta Saturday Night Fever dance to a slow song. And we recorded it and put it on our social media page.
Oh, that is wonderful.
That is fantastic.
So
love that.
So Timmy, where are you going to have your convention appearances this summer where people can come find you?
I will just be at Scares That Care for those 3 days. That's really the only thing I'm doing. Maybe something in October, something local.
Will you be at Nikon this year?
No, I haven't done Nikon. I usually... with the family, I can only usually get away like one weekend a year.
Right.
So I usually choose Scares, but next year I might actually switch it up and do Nikon because I've heard good things.
How tough have you found it to be to balance your writing career with being a good father?
So our situation is a little bit different. Our son has autism, so he requires a lot more extra work. And obviously he comes first, so... but good thing is he's 4 and he actually started a pre-K special autism program this year, which is like 5 hours a day. So I've been able to get some writing in while he goes to that. So I usually use that for my writing time, and then like the rest of the day is all family.
Well, God bless you, man. It's not a hard, it's not an easy fight. It's a hard battle. Dan, I'll tell you, he fights the same fight. So,
yep.
So my son's 8 years old, and you know, we got the diagnosis luckily when he was 2.5. We noticed right around like his second birthday that something was you know, like not, you know, exactly on the even keel. And mm-hmm. I mean, we had him in pre-K programs, and I mean, he goes to a specialty school to help, but I mean, it's an adventure. And
yeah, it definitely is.
And God bless you for putting priority family first, because there's a lot of people out there that would definitely put that as a second or third, but you know, your kid comes first. So
absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Awesome job to that, brother.
Thanks, man.
Well, Tim Meyer, thank you very much for joining us on the Necrocasticon this week. Well,
thank you for having me, guys. I had fun.
All right. Rock on, brother.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, Iris here, and I want to know who that was in the Adam and Eve commercial that started off the show. She better not be replacing me. Hear me, guys? She sounds like a Barbie after a Kent train, all aboard. Hoot, hoot, hoot. Okay, now that I've got that off my motherboard, here's what's trending this week in metal and horror. 10 is casting news. Paul Rudd signed on for Ghostbusters 3. He's playing Paul Rudd. Again. 9 is Jemma Forno. Stephen Adler stabbed himself. He claims it was an accident. Drugs are bad, dude. At 8, Gwar will be touring North America on a Use Your Collusion tour with Sacred Reich, Toxic Holocaust, and Against the Grain. Lucky 7 gives us the first Death Clock show in 5 years. They'll be performing at Adult Swim Festival 2019. At 666, All Hail the New King Diamond track, which he debuted live at Hellfest. Songs for the Dead. We dig into the top 5 with Sadness. Rest in peace, character actor Billy Drago. He had the coolest surname in Hollywood. 4 tells us DC has gotten rid of all its alternate publishing imprints, including the classic Vertigo line, but 3 shows Joe Hill's new Hill House imprint at DC, hot on the heels of the deceased crossover event. At 2, the fallout from the 2008 Universal Studios fire is continuing to rain ash on the music community, as a recent investigation is now revealing. Thousands of original recordings were lost forever, and the studio is only now letting this information spill out. And the number one thing trending in metal and horror this week are the rumors surrounding the Stand casting news, which includes James Marsden leading the cast as Stu Redman. Here's the guys to follow up on all of this, and that woman better not be with them. I swear I'll get dial-up internet.
Number 10, Paul Rudd has signed on for Ghostbusters 3, kids.
Who are you going to call?
Paul Rudd.
Ant-Man.
All okay, that movie is a thousand times better than the new Ghostbusters that came out a few years ago.
Yeah, well...
Okay, now picture him doing Ant-Man in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's good.
See if that would work.
Yeah. He's probably going to play the same character because he plays the same character in every movie.
Yeah. That's right.
Number 9, speaking of playing the same character, Steven Adler stabbed himself. Mm. Drugs are bad, okay?
Boy.
Apparently it was an accident.
Wink, wink.
They all say.
Well, shit happens when you party naked.
Yeah, speaking of partying naked, number 8, Gwar will be spilling blood across North America. Use Your Collusion tour. yeah, Russia, fuck you. Anyway, which is set to kick off in September, joining the Killing Spree. Sacred Right.
Awesome.
Toxic Holocaust and Against the Grain.
Yes, they're actually coming to our area in October.
Yes. They'll be in upstate New York.
And it's a Saturday show. I can actually go to it.
Oh, shit, man.
Yeah.
What day?
Number 7. Deathlock is about to play their first show in 5 years at the Adult Swim Festival 2019.
Yes, release the curtains.
That's not metal. It's Death Clock, not Deathlock.
Well, Death Clock, whatever.
Yes,
Death Clock.
It can't be Deathlock because that's a Marvel.
No, it's not Deathlock. It's Death Clock.
It's Death yes. Clock, the douchebag.
Okay. Yeah, as you guys know, Scott's been doing these Mr. Scott Reacts videos lately. And he's got one that's debuting as we record this tomorrow. But as you hear this, he did it a couple days ago. At 666, appropriately this week on the top 10, there's a new King Diamond song out there, Scott.
Oh, man, there is. From the forthcoming album. I'm not going to give you the name, but if you go to Mr. Scott Reacts and check out the video, you will hear the name of the album in that video. It's a live track from a festival happening in Europe and brand new song called Masquerade of Murder. And you can imagine what King has in store for us with this double album that he is producing right now. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. Check out the video, Mr. Scott Reacts.
What if you listen to Mr. What if you watch Mr. Scott Reacts and already know the name of the album?
It won't spoil anything.
Okay.
But you got to listen to the song. It's amazing. But Dan had a question.
Is this the same double album that we were talking about back in the archives a few months ago that they were releasing?
Yeah, he's working on it right now, and quite the undertaking since we have not had a new King Diamond album in over a decade. So yeah. There's a lot of pent-up creative stuff happening with King these days. Very happy to see it. Love the track, so check it out, please.
All right. Who saw The Untouchables in the theater?
Yo.
I did, too.
Yep.
And motherfucker in that movie that made that movie creepy as hell, it wasn't De Niro. It wasn't Costner. It was Billy Drago playing that assassin, the hitman.
Yep. Frank Nitti, the enforcer.
Rest in peace, Billy Drago passed away this week. Not only did he play Frank, he also played countless characters on television, throughout many genres, horror, science fiction. He was everywhere, man. His imprint, you know, Charmed, he was in there.
Yep.
Did the bad guy in that. So, God bless you, man. 70-something years old.
73 as a result of a stroke.
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn. All right, number four. Number four is kind of also gloomy, too, because DC last week got rid of their alternate publishing imprints, which included Dan?
Vertigo, unfortunately. You know, it's a hit to the comic book world. DC was able to tell these alternate universe stories, and it's ironic because this... upcoming fall, there is a Melissa McCarthy movie based on a Vertigo comic called The Kitchen coming out into theaters. And when I saw it on the advertisement for Godzilla King of the Monsters, the trailer for it, it looked promising. And now they're getting rid of it.
A movie with Melissa McCarthy looked promising?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you sell me as a Vertigo DC property that isn't a superhero movie, you got my money. And it's kind of sad to see this iconic brand go.
Well, it's bittersweet sadness. When we say that, because it's not that they're abandoning what they're doing there. I think that the publishing world now, especially DC, has to consolidate and sell that brand that's DC.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the Vertigo comics, though that line doesn't exist, will be absorbed into the regular line. And I think one example of that is number three this week, which is Joe Hill's new series, Hill House, which debuts at DC this week. So, Joe Hill, as we all know, is who?
If I'm not mistaken, the son of the legendary Stephen King.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Joseph Hillstrom's King.
And isn't this going to be their exclusive horror after they've had such luck with, you know, not just Vertigo, but also a lot of the DC horror that they've done, either Batman, Metal, or the recent Deceased storylines that they've been
doing? Well, Deceased has led to this, and what also led to this was House of Horrors that came out last year, which featured our friends Brian Keene, Mary Sangiovanni. just for example, in that. I think that sold well enough that it piqued DC's interest to have Joe Hill, bring Joe Hill in. Because what they did was they went to they teased the water with the House of Horrors, I think, by going to the mid range where Brian and Mary are, okay, mm-hmm. And to see what the response would be before they went to a Joe Hill, because Joe Hill commands top dollar. He really does.
Yeah.
He's fucking Joe Hill, lock and key. Bottom line, you know, one of the best comic book fucking stories ever. So. I think that this was done by design. And I'd like to see where this is going, because Joe isn't doing all the stories. So that's a good thing. So it leaves room for the Brian Keens, the Mary Sangiovannis, and the Lucas Millirons, and the Tom Clarks to be able to have a door open for them in DC Comics. Marvel's got to do the same. Whether they do or not, I don't, you know, we'll see. Okay. Number two. You guys know about the 2008 Universal Studios fire?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's 2019. Why is this news? Well, a couple weeks ago, an investigation into this fire discovered that thousands of original recordings of artists in all genres of music burnt up in that fire.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is White Snake. This is Green Day, Eric Clapton.
Mm-hmm.
You name it, they were affected by this. This is the original studio tapes. This means that anything that was in that fire, unless they were smart like Brian Adams and had a double default, because Brian had a double default of the original unmastered recordings at his studio in Canada for Reckless, for example, they're gone. We're not going to get these remade. What we have out there now is the recording that's going to remain forever, and we can't remaster these. We can't make them sound better. This is a tragedy, guys.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that the studios hid this from the artists for a decade, a fucking decade, is reprehensible.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did they know shortly after the fire what
they knew
was
all the fuck along, Dan?
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Get those lawyers on the phone.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All those lost potential royalties that these artists have now lost forever. Shit.
It's not just the royalties, Dan. It's the original recordings. The work that they did. It'd be like my manuscripts disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Of what I wrote before it was published. It's tragic. It's tragic. All right, number one this week. The Stand. If you ask any horror fan, they tell you that's the greatest horror book of all time. It's the great American fantasy novel. It really is. It's Lord of the Rings in America. That's what Stephen King wanted to accomplish. He did so with a crappy ending. You know, 9/10 of the book is great. No, okay. 99.999% of the book is great up until the last chapter. Anyway. As we know, Josh Boone's adaptation is coming on to CBS Access, All Access. And last week after we went to press with the recording of our show, leaks were coming out about the casting news for the show. And one of them has James Marsden from Westworld being cast in the Gary Sinise role of Stu Redman. Now, we saw what playing Stu Redman did for Gary Sinise back in the day. His career catapulted after that. Will that do the same for Marsden? I guess we'll see. He's always been kind of... I don't see him... I've always pictured Stu Redman as Joe Lansdale. Just because I have. And I don't see that in James Marsden. Especially after his performance in Westworld. To me, he's too apathetic. He's too he waffles too much. He's not very strong. And Stu is a very strong character. So we'll have to see where that leads to. The rest of the cast, they're talking Whoopi Goldberg from Mother Abigail. Fantastic casting, I think. Because she's a sassy old black lady. And what's Whoopi Goldberg?
Sassy old brother. Sister. Excuse me.
Yeah, sassy old black lady. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So the Stand, absolutely something for us to look forward to. Coming on CBS All Access soon. And, you know, the original miniseries that was done in the 90s was fantastic within the limitations of network television.
Now that network television has changed so much,
we get the...
got to get an upgrade.
Get the scariest fucking zombie movie ever! That first fucking third of that book with the plague is the most frightening fucking shit out there. You catch a fucking cold reading that book. It's not a real cold. You think you have caught the fucking bug. That's how much that book gets in your fucking head. So, can't wait to see that. All right. So, Walter, it's time for you to introduce Daniel for Wrestler vs. the D-Movie.
Oh, God. All right. Well, as you can tell, you know, it sounds like I've, swallowed a bowl of razor blades. So here we go. In this corner, our beloved Sergeant Fury, Dan Roberts. And in this corner, the shitty movie he's taken on this week. Fight it out. I don't care.
All right. Here's the IMDb. A struggling children's book author and his rebellious teenage daughter move into a house they've inherited and find mysterious dolls in the attic. The father and daughter soon learn that the dolls have a sinister and deadly past. Directed by Kyle Carvin. Written by Justin Hawkins, Josh Hawkins. And starring Thomas Downey, D. Wallace, and Trinity Simpson. This is tagged as D. Wallace versus Chucky. Yeah. So, Dan, does it live up to the hype?
You know what? Actually, I really thoroughly enjoyed this one when you sent me the thing and it was dolls. Okay, first off, for a grown-ass man who's a grown-ass action figure man collector, the idea of action figures or dolls coming to life and murdering in the middle of the night, pretty fucking scary. However, coolness of it was the... You know, it wasn't, it's along the same veins as like Puppet Master. And the thing is to call it, you know, D. Wallace versus Chucky. Chucky had personality, the catchphrases, you know, obviously the voice by Mr. Dorf. You know, it's one of those things where Chucky's such an iconic character. To compare the three dolls that were in this, no, I would compare them more to like larger scale Puppet Master dolls, you know what I mean? But as far as the storyline goes, you know, I was right into it. I captivated by the main character because it's a recently separated divorcee who is moving into his mother's house that he inherited, and he's looking to restart his life. You know, he is, as IMDb explained it, he's a children's author, an artist, and he's looking for that inspiration once again. He has a problem with alcohol, and you see that. And his daughter, his rebellious daughter, she's not really rebellious against her, you know, necessarily against society or anything like that. She's the child of a divorced couple, and she sees her mom as being this overbearing bitch, which she calls her numerous times in the movie. And the father, who she feels sympathetic for because he's obviously battling with alcoholism, and the mom is just kind of throwing him to the side, and here he is in her, you know, recently deceased grandma's house. And you know, at the beginning of the movie, we're introduced to these dolls, and one of them is like this weird looking ventriloquist dummy without the strings. Another one is like your typical Annabelle looking female doll, and then there's a really small one. You know, they're all pretty cool. I mean, if you were to have them as action figures, if NECA were to do them, that'd be pretty brutal, I won't lie. And you know, D. Wallace stars as a friend of his mother's, who exactly, yes, pet the action figure, give it a good old figure bath. But anyway, so now the cool part about it is that you're introduced to people that knew his mother, and his mother has kind of a history with these dolls because they're obviously in her house. And also these dolls have had history with other people, and this man just happens to be the next in a line of people who've come in contact with the dolls. It wasn't shitty writing. I'd have to say that the character development was spot on. You know, I'd have to say that Dee Wallace coming out of nowhere in this movie, as, you know, she understands these dolls. She knows these dolls. She knows these dolls more than she lets on when she's introduced in the movie. It was great to see E.T.'s mom fight dolls. But, you know, as far as everything goes with this film,
did she turn into a werewolf to fight back?
No werewolf transformations, unfortunately. No howling send-ups. But the cool part is just to see it. And that's the other thing, is that when you have some of these actors, like when we saw when you gave me Devil's Kitty, and I watched that, and it was like 1,000 send-ups to all of the B-horror movies that were in that. It's like, no, this was played straight-faced, new character, no mention of, like, Howling or E.T. or anything, no tongue-in-cheek shit. I would recommend this. I recommend this because as a fan of, you know, like, doll murder-killing movies, this was a really well-done one. The story was cool, and the one thing that I really loved about this movie, without giving too much of spoilers, is the guy's profession of being a children's book author and illustrator comes into dolls, which I was like, that's pretty cool the way that they put a spin on that. So Dolls, when it comes out on DVD or video on demand, get your ass out there and get it. Get it this week.
This week, man. Watch it on 4th of July with your family.
F&A.
And then listen to the Necrocasticon afterwards. So
we got a positive review. I'm just kind of sad it wasn't Stuart Gordon's Dolls, which was still a very good movie as well. Here's the thing. And this, you know how the analogy Tom always makes with Near Dark and Lost Boys?
Yes.
Dolls is the Near Dark to Child's Play's Lost Boys.
Okay.
It is.
I buy that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Skipper.
Sir.
You got to watch an anthology movie called High Death. Also from our friends over at Uncorked. What do you got to say about it's from Wild Eye Releasing. Nightfall Pictures Anthology High Death. This is already out on a limited edition VHS tape. So
I think there's a reason for that.
So it's from the makers of High Eight, and it's 5 twisted tales showcasing the talents of both veteran and emerging horror filmmakers. So what'd you think of this anthology?
First, I wish I'd known it was an anthology.
Okay.
Because I wanted to see these 2 chicks walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and I'm going, okay. And then all of a sudden, smack dab in the middle of a horror film with not the 2 chicks. and then the little horror, they're going on this terror tour, and I hated it because the producers, the filmmakers, the cinematographers, they love shooting people's feet.
Okay.
And people walking, and the B-roll on this film is crap. But as for the practical effects, if you like trauma films, you're going to love this film.
Oh, so it's trauma-esque?
It's trauma-esque. It's like Trauma and Ed Lee got together to make a film.
Okay.
And I mean, there's gratuitous everything. There's gratuitous sex, there's gratuitous violence, there's gore, there's just so much about it. One of the vignettes doesn't fit inside of it, and that's the Night Drop, the one that takes place in a video store. That really felt like it didn't belong in there. But as far as like the other ones, it took me a minute to realize, well, it took me about 30 minutes to realize what was going on, because like I said, I went in there blind, and because that's how I would watch films. And the acting was subpar on every character. The filming, which I didn't realize was done intentionally to be trauma-esque. So I hated it up until I realized that. And then I kind of just rolled with it and enjoyed it at the end. And at the end, it kind of pays off.
Ending?
Huh?
Yeah,
I don't know if you want, but yeah, it pays off by ending. No, you get to see Cthulhu.
Oh, there's Cthulhu in this.
Cthulhu is at the end, man. It's brilliant.
So it's like Paranormal Activity. You sit through Paranormal Activity for one little scene.
Yeah.
Or you sit through Blair Witch for one scene.
For one second.
You sit through this for Cthulhu.
And I mean, at the end, they mixed their genre. I mean, because it was a trauma film in my eyes.
See, Dan, I almost gave you this movie.
See, I'll still watch this movie now that, like, I'm sitting back being like, Cthulhu, fuck. I mean,
yeah.
I'll do it for Cthulhu, shit.
Yeah. And they used practical effects through everything except a couple of little scenes at the end, and which, of course, I'm a sucker for practical effects. But as far as, like, following the story because, like I said, I didn't know it was an anthology film. I was just confused as fuck. And then when I realized what it was, everything kind of fell in place, and I could just sit back and enjoy it. And it did pay off in the end by, you know, delivering the dark god himself.
All right. Well, we saved this for last, just in case somebody got a little long-winded. And it's all good. So thank you. I know I'm number one, Skip.
I'm not long-winded. I just like to enunciate.
It's fine. Well, Dan, it doesn't look like Avengers is going to catch...
Yeah, Avatar. You know, they tried. They made the valiant effort. You know,
they put the fucking Hulk without all the CG.
Yeah, I know. If you wanted my honest opinion,
they gave a commercial for fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done anything. I would have just re-released it and hyped it as one more time. That's all they had to do. That's all they really needed to do. That's what I would have done. But, you know, I know people who went and saw it this weekend, so, you know, it still worked. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, I guess for me, Avatar is still number one. The records are going to show it. You know, Endgame made a very strong statement by getting that close. My big thing is going to be, how did the Oscars show? Because I said it after seeing Endgame, Academy Awards all around. I mean, to me, well, personally, that's what the big measure is going to be the awards season.
Yeah, well, they're talking Academy Awards, but not for this. They're talking about it for Spider-Man.
Well, they're also talking about it for Joker.
Well, rumor has it, and this comes from very credible sources of mine that have seen Spider-Man Far From Home already, call it the best solo Marvel superhero movie of all time.
Yeah, well, I mean, Black Panther was obviously nominated last year and made a big statement. So I'm going to see it this week because it comes out, you know, the Tuesday that this podcast is released, 4th of July weekend. I'm going to go see it, obviously. Because it's on a Tuesday. And with work and everything, you know, being old sucks. But as far as Endgame goes, it was beautiful. It was a fucking phenomenal movie. I would have loved to have seen it beat Avatar, which I've argued, and you and I have gone back and forth. I thought Avatar was a very generic Pocahontas.
I like it.
I did not like it.
I don't care.
I thought it was a waste of my life. I really wished I would have gotten my money back. But you know, as far as worldwide
fanboy,
you can call me a fanboy, but it was Fern Gully with
Tolkien. Whatever.
I'm with him. You want to hear my invitation of my wife after seeing Avatar the whole way home? I don't get it. I don't get the hype. I don't get it. That's all she kept saying. I don't get the hype. I didn't see the big deal.
It was an It was the typical anti-military James Cameron film. Only it was done with you know, blue dick tail aliens.
Okay. I didn't hate it, but like her, I didn't see the hype.
I didn't see it either, guys.
It was good. It wasn't
the dragons.
Great.
When we bash
something that Tom likes, like Ghost or Avatar, I know.
It's a whole different story. It's a whole different story.
It's like, you know, Dan's new metal fixation and Five Finger Death Punch. Fuck him. But no, like, it was a great Endgame was great. You know, it got a very visceral, emotional reaction from the audience. I'm still talking to people.
I cried.
Yeah, like, I'm still talking to people about it right now. And, you know, we live in a world where, like, these movies are quickly, they drop, you move on to the next one, they drop, move on to the next one. We've talked about it with some of the movies that came out this year, how it's like, holy fuck, you know, we're talking about Avengers, and it was barely 3 months ago, and it's like, you know, it was still playing in theaters up here. I don't know about this re-release shit. It was still playing. I guess it's because the DVD and the digital are coming out at the end of July and beginning of August. The hype got bigger. But as far as I can say, when Spider-Man Far From Home comes out and that officially ends the Infinity Saga, as Kevin Feige said this past Monday, yeah, and we get the super box set at the end of the year, y'all motherfuckers know what to get me for Christmas.
Is that what he says his name? Feige? I always thought it was Feige. I don't know.
It's Feige.
It's Feige.
Feige? Yep. Feige? Okay.
Yep. I never understood the hype behind Avatar either. I love the Endgame movie.
Oh, me too.
And I don't understand why they're battling for first place for money, because they have all the money.
All right. That's fine. All good and dandy. What we haven't done yet is make my giant, big, huge announcement.
Oh, here we go. Oh, finally. Oh.
Here we are at the end of this episode of the Necrocasticon. Halloween 2020. I know it's a year, almost 2 years away.
Jesus.
That's how it is. That's how these things fucking work, okay? I'm learning these things. Imaginos, The Eternal Light, anthology, edited by Thomas R. Clark, published by Stitch Smile Publications, is releasing.
It's going to be a thing.
It's a thing.
Awesome. Awesome.
An anthology of short stories by popular horror authors based on the songs from the Imaginos song cycle from Blue Oyster Cult.
That is fucking amazing.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Awesome.
That is fucking huge, dude. Congratulations on getting that fucking project done.
Yeah. And the reason I'm announcing this today is because the private call that I made, I don't do open calls when I do things, I do private calls. The private call that I did closed, and I got my submissions in. So that's why you're hearing about this now. Cover art by Francois Valancourt. And I'm telling you guys, it's going to be a take on the original Imaginos album cover. So this is cosmic horror. This is heavy metal to an extreme. And I'm not going to spill the beans about any of the contributors yet. You're going to find that out over the following months.
Over the next almost 2 years.
Yeah, over the next year and almost a year and a half.
So the countdown starts now.
Yeah, and the reason that we're taking so long here is because we want to make sure these stories are the perfect stories for the book based off the private call that I put out there and who I asked to contribute stories to this. So.
And when the book releases, who knows what projects you'll have lined up by then. Yeah. You might have something even bigger by that point.
By that point, absolutely. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows what the future brings?
What about our other big announcement? We are going to be doing in the next few weeks the return of our radio plays.
Yes, yes.
With
a
screenplay written by yours truly back when he was in 12th grade.
Yes, well, senior high school screenplay.
Dan Roberts, you get the gist of this? I know you've been busy all day, but you get the gist of this.
Everything is coming at me like fucking full bore.
Okay. Right, I back in 1998, I wrote, or 97, one or the other, I wrote a Shaw Brothers style martial arts screenplay.
Right.
Called The Quest for the Sacred Snickers. That screenplay was lost. It was written for an English class. And my friends and I did an audio recording of it. And after that, it became a thing of lore, a thing of legend. But the thing is, the screenplay was lost until over 20 years later, when a message from a friend of mine from high school, a dear friend of mine, said, "Walter, you're not going to believe what I found." And she took a picture of it and sent it to me, and it was said screenplay. And she is it is en route to me. And we are going to be reenacting said screenplay. Me, you, Tom, Scott, yep. And Skip.
Yep. And we got our new voice actress, who you heard in the spots earlier tonight, Christina.
But I mean,
with us as well.
This is gonna be fucking awesome.
And you'll get us. There's a tag on my Facebook page. I will tag you in the post. So you can get a preview of just how amazing this thing is going to be. And actually what I will be doing is I will be, when I receive the copy, I am going to be rewriting it, revising it, expanding on some scenes and putting, modernizing it, taking a little, hidden inside jokes, for listeners of our show. Okay. And we're going to have fun. And if we pull this off and it's fantastic, I might just fucking write a sequel.
Okay. all right. So I think now we should talk about social media, maybe. You can find the Necrocast account everywhere on social media, kids. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as the Necrocast account. I'm at @TokenBottom_Tom on Twitter. I might be changing that soon. We'll see. And I am also Tommy Clark on Facebook. What about you, Scott?
Well, I did make the announcement last week. Just to remind you all, I did change my Twitter handle. It is now at Mr. Scott Reacts on Twitter. And that, of course, is my YouTube channel, which is under Mr. Scott Reacts. But if you go to the YouTube channel, there's a link to my Facebook, link to my Twitter. There's even a link to this show on there, which you don't need because you're ready to listen to us.
Danielson?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the Sergeant Fury. You can catch me every week on anchor.fm with Films of Fury wherever you get your fine ass podcasts. And also you can find Films of Fury on Facebook at FOF Podcast.
Walter, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on the Twitter at @YourWaltBall, and you can find me on Instagram at @Smokin_Walt_Ball.
Skipper?
Twitter, Skip Novak. Facebook, Skip Novak. I'm Skip Novak on everything. Even Amazon. Buy my books.
Yes, and we got a new episode of You Gotta Be Kidding coming out this week.
Fantastic.
Yes, excellent. All righty. Okay, guys, so thank you very much, Tim Meyer, for joining us this week. We appreciate having you on. I can't wait to hang out with you again at Scares and Care this year. And I guess this is time to say thank you again to AdamandEve.com.
Don't forget to put Necro.
Yeah, that's right. The percentage of your order and a bunch of free stuff. All right, so until next week, this chapter of the NecroCastCon is
closed.
The NecroCastCon is an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network, written and produced by Thomas Clark, Scott Groveston, Walter Ball, and Dan Roberts. Music provided by Daniel Edenfield.
Thank you for coming to the Project Entertainment Network store. Please place your order. A good choice. A t-shirt for the horror show with Brian Keane. A Manta Method coffee mug. There's more. A Necrocast Icon hoodie. That's sharp. But why on earth would you want bizong leggings? Wait. Are you Mr. Frank? The Project Entertainment Network store, stacked with goodies from all your favorite podcasts. T-shirts, hoodies, mugs and more.
www.projectentertainmentnetwork.com.
Hi, this is Brian Keene. I'm an international best-selling award-winning horror novelist.
No comment!
I know where the bodies are buried, and now I'm telling you their location every week on The Horror Show.
Pardon, no comment, don't you understand?
We discuss the latest news in horror novels, movies, comics, and games, and interview the biggest names in the business.
This interview is over. No comment.
Thursday nights, 7 p.m. only on
Project Entertainment Network.
My Favorite Story, a podcast author anthology featuring short fiction from the hosts of the Project Entertainment Network shows.
Three Guys with Beards.
Jim Moore, Jonathan Maybury,
and Chris Golden.
Tom Clark from Necrocast, Igbon.
Brian Keene of The Horror Show.
Chuck Buddha. And Armand Rosamilia of The Mando Method.
Mary San Giovanni of Cosmic Shenanigans.
Jay Wilburn from Matters of Faith.
John Urban, sick of ink stains.
Biz Ung's Mr. Frank.
Available on Kindle and in paperback and through the Project Entertainment Network store.
www.projectentertainmentnetwork.com.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.